Praise the Lord and good evening. Praise the Lord and good evening, everyone. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him, and heaven and earth adores him. He's a mighty good God. And if there's somebody on this line tonight listening to this lesson, even if you're listening to the recording, I want you to take a moment to give God a praise. I know you've come through your day, and your day might have been a bit challenging, but no matter what the day has been to you, you've got to keep praising God. I need you to take a moment. Before we go any further, before another word is said, before a prayer is prayed, I'm going to ask you to just open your mouth wherever you are and give God a praise. Yes. Yes. Come on. Give him a praise right where you are. We need to set the atmosphere. In the mighty name of Jesus. Ah, that's right. That sweet sound of praise that is offered up unto God, the fruit of our lips, praises unto his holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you and welcome tonight to the weekly pastoral Bible study and prayer at Beulah Tabernacle. Today is Tuesday, January the 26th. Can you imagine? It seems as if we just came into this year, and here we are about to exit this first month. My God, my God. But it is Tuesday, January 26th in the year 2021. And we give God praise, glory, and honor tonight. I'm going to ask that you would bow your heads with us for a moment of prayer. For in all of our ways, we ought to acknowledge him that he might direct our path. Eternal God, our Father, in the matchless name of Jesus Christ, we come before your presence with singing. We come before your presence with a spirit of praise and rejoicing. That is this that emanates from our spirit. Because of the gratitude that we have within our hearts, we thank you for raising us up this morning. We thank you for taking us through the day, even for allowing us to remain faithful in the consecration, the Bible, the fasting of our Tuesdays, the turning down of our plates, the praying for deliverance and breakthrough, and the destruction of strongholds, the destruction of yokes. Oh God, you are a mighty God, and we thank you, the God of miracles, signs, and wonders, who's always a wonder, working wonder in our soul. And so tonight, Lord God, we ask that you would bless us as we take another journey into your word. Look upon every man, woman, boy, and girl, every person that's here with us and that will hear us. I pray that your word will go forth, even in the teaching, in power and demonstration of your Holy Spirit. Speak to us tonight, Lord. Speak to us tonight. And we will not forget to give you the glory, honor, and the praise. Even now, we thank you in advance, because we know that all things are working together for our good. We love you, Lord. We are your called, the called according to your purpose. We commit ourselves into your hands, spirit, soul, and body, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you all tonight. We thank God for you being with us, and we certainly want to get right into our lesson. We want to remind you of our focus this year, the theme that the Lord has placed within our spirit for 2021, based upon Matthew chapter 21, verses 20 through 21. I've shared with you also Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 through 21, and Romans chapter 4, verses 20 through 21. And it is, the theme is, it shall be done in 21, a year of purpose, power, prayer, and praise. Now, some may say, well, we should be doing that all the time. That is true. But if you will remember in your reading or study of the Old Testament, particularly in the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, also known as the Pentateuch, God instructed Moses often to remind the people of the things they were to do as a part of being the children of God, the nation of God on the earth. And even in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul admonishes the saints and reminds them often of their position, of their purpose, and of their power in God. What a mighty God! What a mighty God! What a mighty God! And so it is no burden to me to share with you what God has emphasized in my spirit for us to focus on as we traverse this year. God has something in store for every one of us. Again, our keynote scriptures, our focus scriptures for the year is out of Matthew chapter 21, verse 20 and 21, and it reads, "And when the disciples saw it," this is making reference to the fig tree that Jesus cursed, "they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, 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 one verily, pardon me, I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done." And I just want somebody to give God a praise right there. If we were together, we could insert a praise break right there, because there's somebody that's believing God that it shall be done. And I'm going to mess with somebody tonight. Somebody is believing God that it's already done. Glory to God. Why? Well, our second scripture, foundation scripture, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, 20 and 21. "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Bless the name of God. And you know that amen is often used at the end of a prayer, and that it means it shall be done, or it is so. It is the word that affirms the confidence and the certainty of the prayer prayed by faith. And the final verse as a foundation is Romans chapter 4, again, verse 20 through 21. I want to share with you just how powerful the Lord speaks to us out of his word. And that certainly these were verses that the Lord brought to my spirit. It wasn't through some kind of hocus pocus or some kind of orchestrated event. And when the Holy Spirit leads, you just got to follow. And I'm so amazed at the relevancy of these verses as they point to the year we're in, 2021, and even the theme that God has given us, it shall be done in 21. So here, Romans chapter 4, verses 20 and 21. And I'm not going to be reading that many more verses tonight. I've got some things for us to read in the agenda, and you'll see that soon, and I'll share that soon. But I want to lay the foundation. It is bubbling in my spirit. Romans chapter 4, verse 20 through 21 gives us an example of someone who had great adversities but had greater promises. My God, that's something to give God a praise for right there. The promises of God are greater than the adversities. And so Romans chapter 4, verse 20 through 21, speaking concerning Abraham, it says, "He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what God had promised, God was able also to perform. My God, and somebody ought to give God a praise right there, because there's something that I know that you have been expecting God to do, something that I know that you have petitioned God about. And I want to encourage you to let you know, if you remain persuaded, fully persuaded, and if you don't doubt in your heart, if you don't doubt that what God said he can do, that he's going to do it, it's going to work in your favor. This is a power that's working in you. That's the Holy Ghost power. The Holy Ghost power can do the job. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm getting a little excited right now. I want to encourage somebody on this line. The Holy Ghost power can get the job done. Let's go to our agenda for the night. I'm sharing it on the screen right now for those of you that are with us and watching. Excuse me. And I want to particularly draw emphasis to the verses so that you can see where we're going. And of course, I'm going to need a reader for each of these passages of scripture. And so you can indicate the ones that you would like in the chat so that when we get to it, I'll know exactly who's going to be reading. So while you make up your mind concerning the verses, allow me to reiterate the plan that we have in front of us. The plan that God has put in my spirit for us this year has to do with purpose, power, prayer, and praise. Purpose, power, prayer, and praise. And as we focus on this, I want you to understand that we've got to do something. Purpose speaks of why we're here. Power speaks of how we're going to get done the thing that we're here to do that comes from God. Prayer speaks of the attitude and the posture of us in pursuit of fulfilling the purpose. And then praise speaks of the constant response that will undergird us as we journey through this land. And what God had put in my spirit for you as we put all this together is that each person would identify three things that you're going to commit to completing by the end of May of this year. Each of us, to identify three things that we will commit to completing by May 21st. Bless the name of God. Now, I'm going to scroll my screen down a bit so that people can see some of the other points as we reiterate them. I want you to be able to see it, especially if you were not here last week. And we'll be going through these. But here again is the plan. This is somewhat of a project. You can call it a project. You can call it whatever you really want to, but it's just the direction that God has given us for you, for all of us, for the year, but in particular, for the first 5 months of the year. One of the things that was very powerful, many of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s quotes were very powerful, but one of his quotes was this: the ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy. I share that quote from Dr. Martin Luther King in the context of our lesson tonight, because your strength will never be known until it's tested, until it's tried. The measure, the capacity, the ability, the wherewithal beyond the surface, the core. You don't know what that is until it's tested. And what we are doing this year is we are in hot pursuit of the thing that God has for us to do. When we speak of it shall be done in 21, it's not just about what God is going to do. Oh no, my friend. It's really about also what you're going to do. And so, as God has given this to me, to establish a culture in our community of purposeful living, not just about going to church and being involved in worship services, singing and preaching and testifying and things of that nature. You are so much more than your church service. I'm going to say that again. You are so much more than your church service. And I want you to understand the power of this, because this is going to help you to accomplish at your career, on your job, in your educational pursuits, in preparing yourself for whatever relationship blessings that God will have. If God decides that he wants you to be celibate and he's given you the gift of celibacy, that you can thrive and know that there's nothing wrong with you being single. If God's plan is for you to be married, then this is the time for you to get yourself ready. The Bible says, he that findeth a wife. And so somebody that's looking for something has to go out there and do it. It says that he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor from the Lord. But it's interesting that the scripture says that he finds the wife, not that he marries the wife. So I don't want you to think that you, woman, will be the woman you need to be once you get married. The scripture suggests that you become that woman now. Oh, my God, my God, my God. That you don't wait until the ring gets on your finger. Now, we're certainly not talking about the privileges that go along with marriage, for the Bible says that the bed in marriage, the bed is honorable. Marriage is honorable among all men, and the bed is undefiled, but whoremongers, God is going to judge. So we're not talking about the physical intimacy that is reserved for marriage, but we're talking about the idea of what are you doing to prepare yourself to be the wife that God has you to be. And by the same token, what are you doing as a man to prepare yourself to be worthy of a wife? A wife in the scriptures in the New Testament is the image of Christ. Oh, God, it's rather the image of Christ's church. The wife in Corinthians, Paul uses the marriage as an example of the relationship between Christ and the church. And so you got to understand that Christ had to go through some stuff to prepare to be ready to be the sacrifice. He had to preserve himself. He had to set himself apart. He had to yield himself to the will of the Father. He had to be busy about his Father's business. And sometimes the man is sitting around waiting for the woman to get ready, and he ain't doing nothing. Well, nope, you got to get ready. And so no matter what your object is, no matter what the goal is, you've got to be doing something to get yourself ready. Well, this small project, so it may seem, has tremendous benefits that's going to bless you, whether you are a student, whether you are a person trying to develop a career, whether you're trying to become a better spouse, be prepared to be a better spouse, to be actively engaged at being a better parent, whatever you want to be better at. You got to put some time to it. Set goals. That's how you're going to do it. And I decree it shall be done in 21. When we talk about the goals, there are three things. These three things need to fit within the following guidelines. This is point number two. And these are the guidelines. It must be specific. It must be something that can be measured. It must be something that is achievable. It must be something that is relevant to you and your life. And it must be something that can reasonably be done within the time period, in the time that's allotted. So when you put your goals together, you got to do it with some smarts. You got to do it with some understanding of not causing your goals to be put together in such a way that it defeats you before you get started. You do want to carefully design these goals so that you're able to achieve what God has put in your heart to do. Let's make it clear and something we can see progress and determine whether we actually got it done. So that is a review of the plan that God has put in our hearts to share with you. And because this is so very important, I'm going to pause for a moment to address questions concerning this plan. I believe that if you're thinking about something, somebody else is thinking about it. And so we're going to pause for a moment to answer any questions before we proceed. Is there anyone on the line that has a question?
Can you give us an example? You know, because you have so many things in your life you want to do, you know, like to get finished. Like my goal is to by May to finish half of the Bible.
Sure. I'll definitely, as a matter of fact, I have examples that I'm going to share with you regarding proper goals. And I have examples that I'm going to share with you regarding improper goals. As a matter of fact, if you look at it, if you look at the screen, you'll see that that's coming next.
Oh.
No problem. So we're definitely going to get to that. Thank you so much, Dr. Marbury, for that question. Anybody else, please? Okay. I'll give another moment. I'm so grateful to God for this opportunity to be able to bless you. I wanted to make it, I want to make it count.
Okay, Bishop.
Yes.
Based on what you were saying, that the goal must be measurable and that it must be something that can be achieved by the end of May 2021? Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes.
Okay. All right. I'm just making sure.
No problem.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Anyone else, please? Okay, so let's go into it. Now, before I go to the second item on the agenda, I'm going to, I've noticed that I only have one person who responded to reading on the verses tonight. And of course, you know, you can see, those of you that are using the camera to look upon what I'm sharing, there are four verses that I need us to read tonight. Excuse me. I'm going to take a swallow of water. Okay. Thank you very much. Okay, please chime in so when we get to the verses, we can move along quickly. Examples of proper versus improper goals. So the first thing that we said about the goal is that it needs to be something specific. So thank you very much. Somebody already beat you to number two. I still need one more person. Thank you very much. All right. Thank you so much. So the first thing is it must be specific. So for example, Sister Marbury was talking about the idea of reading the Bible within a certain time frame. Well, that actually is a very good example of a goal that is specific. It's something that can be measured because it's 66 books. It must be something that's achievable, and certainly it is achievable to commit the time to read the Bible. You don't have to go out and get something. It's something that, for the most part, you have at your disposal. It's not a language you have to learn. Not only is it in the King James Version, but the Bible is in many other translations that make the English easy to comprehend. It must be relevant to your life, and absolutely reading the Word of God is absolutely relevant. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It's very, very relevant, and it must be something that can reasonably be done within the time allotted. And so absolutely, depending on how much time you give yourself, and when you give yourself a goal such as that to read the Bible between now and May, you know, the end of May, you do need to look at how much you're going to need to read on a daily basis to be able to get through it. I remember last year, as a member of the online Facebook fan group called We Read the Bible Group, I actually completed reading the entire Bible sometime in May. And I'm just using myself as an example, so I know that it can be done. As a matter of fact, there are people in the group. The group started in 2020 as a small, modest group of 200 people. And now it's almost up to 7,000 people around this country and around the world that are engaged in a daily practice of reading the Word of God. Highly recommend it. You should be reading the Bible every single day. But there have been some people in that group that have actually read the Bible multiple times in 1 year. So it's absolutely something that can be done. So that's an example of something that can be done. That's a very good example of a proper goal. It is specific. It's measurable. It's achievable. It's relevant to our lives. And it is something that can be reasonably done within the time allotted. So it's a goal that has time sensitivity or time limits around it. An example of an improper goal, or a goal that is hard to do or to fit in this criteria and guideline, and as such, it's really not a good goal. This model of what's called SMART goals, S-M-A-R-T, it's an acronym, and it's basically the acronym for the 5 points that I'm sharing with you, that I shared with you before, and that I'm sharing with you now. It is an excellent model for how to be efficient with identifying goals and going through the process of staying committed to the goals and then ultimately reaching the goal. And you should also understand that this is not something that you want to use to beat yourself up with. Don't let the devil cause you to beat yourself up because you may be missing or slowing down or not staying, you know, rigidly committed to this. Be easy on yourself. Of course, this is about doing things that God would have us to do and getting those things done. And we want to please God. But understand, God is not a tyrant. He's not a tyrant. He loves you. What we're doing with this is developing ourselves and maturing ourselves to be as productive for the kingdom of God and as productive in this world as we possibly can be. But please don't beat yourself up if you miss a day, if you slip on a thing, or, you know, don't do that to yourself. Love yourself. Love yourself. It's just like the idea of the Sabbath. A man was not made for the Sabbath, Jesus said. Sabbath was made for the man, not the man made for the thing. And so these guidelines are made for you, to help you. You were not made to be forced into guidelines. And that's a truth that you can apply in other areas of your life as well, especially in your walk with God. So an example of an improper goal. So say, for example, somebody sets a goal that I want to pray more. And I've heard that so many times. I want to pray more. I want to pray more. I want to pray more. Well, first of all, in the first criteria, it must be specific. Okay, so it passes that. You know exactly what it is. You want to pray more. The second point is it must be something that can be measured. Well, that's possible. Because, you know, well, you haven't even put the measurements to it. So the goal that's been set is quite ambiguous. It doesn't have the specificity to allow it to be a good goal. So although it is specific, you have not put enough substance to it to allow it to be measured. It must be achievable. Yep. Well, praying more conceptually, the idea of it is absolutely achievable. Is it relevant to your life? Yes, it's definitely relevant to your life. It must be something that can be reasonably done within the time allotted. Well, you haven't even allotted the time for it. You haven't even said something with more specificity. So for example, somebody might propose a better goal if prayer is the object. So let's say I want to pray once a day. And I want to pray once a day, every day for the rest of my life. So is it specific? Yes. Is it something that can be measured? Yes. Basically, you did it or you didn't do it. It must be achievable. Check. It must be relevant to your life. Check. It must be something that can reasonably be done within the period of time. Well, check, of course. You can pray once a day for the rest of your life. Everybody can do that. So that is the same kind of goal with more specificity around it. And it is the when you put those parameters around it, when you make the specifics, that's what helps the goal to be something that is a proper goal. So I hope that those examples have helped you in terms of understanding the difference between a proper goal and an improper goal. Does anybody have any questions before we proceed? This is a very different kind of night, and I want you to get the best and as much out of it as you possibly can. I'll pause at this time to take any questions before we proceed and ask the readers to please get ready.
I don't have a question, Bishop. I guess it could be perceived as both a question and a suggestion. But I know for myself, it's not always easy for me to keep track of things. And I was thinking about for my goals to basically create like a chart sheet for me to have to like write down or put a check mark next to like the date. So if I put down the dates from now until we said March, if I put the date down and every day that I pray, for example, how you just said the prayer example, every day that I pray, after my prayer, I put a check mark next to the date so I know that I'm on track. That's just a suggestion that I'll be doing for myself. So it's not necessarily a question, more so a suggestion.
No, that's absolutely very good. And that's actually not till March, it's till May 2021. But the idea of using a planner or some kind of a journal or something where you take notes and you write on it, whether it's electronic and a tablet or a paper-based tool, that is a phenomenal suggestion. You should get in the habit of taking notes. As a matter of fact, you all know that have been with me in ministry that I recommend that anytime you go to a prayer, a Bible study, or a service, that you have a notebook. Because the Lord is going to speak to you and you want to be able to capture those revelations, those insights that come in the moment. Glory to God. I know that many of us on this line can attest to the fact that we would be in a class or in a service and an inspiration hits us. It could be the exact words that were spoken by the person that's leading the teaching or preaching the word. Or sharing a message, or it could be an insight that leaps within your spirit while the person is speaking that is not the words they've said, but the Holy Ghost brings illumination to you. I've told you all, I'll share it again. You should always have a notebook, whether it's a journal that has dates in it, a calendar or planner rather that has dates in it, to the point that Zoe made, where you can put a check mark or you can put some kind of a note in the date box to indicate that you have accomplished that thing. I highly recommend it. I have used one for decades. And although I'm very technologically inclined, I even have a paper-based planner that I use and I put notes in it all the time. So thank you for sharing that, Zoe. Thank you very much. Anybody else before we proceed? Okay, thank you. At this time, I want you to understand that this is not just some exercise for the sake of doing something. This is not something that has been put together for busy work. This is put together to build you up. And I want you to understand how very, very powerful this is, because the benefits of this exercise are far reaching. And so let us hear what the Word of God has to say concerning this. Again, I want you to understand clearly that there are incredible benefits that are associated with doing this and following what God has given me. This is not for my benefit, although I know I will benefit from it because I'm going to be doing it too, right along with you. But I want you to hear what the Word of God has to say. Let's go to Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. Zoe?
Yes, Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. This is the King James Version. Excuse me. It says, "And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run and that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry."
Woo! In the Message translation, thank you for that, Zoe, it says, "And then God answered, write this, write what you see, write it out in big block letters so that it can be read on the run." My God, this vision message is a witness pointing to what's coming. It aches for the coming. It can hardly wait, and it does not lie. If it seems slow in coming, wait. It's on its way. It will come right on time. That is the Message translation of Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. What a powerful witness this is to what God would have for us. He told the prophet to write the vision. These goals that you're putting together is a visionary statement of where you believe God is taking you. It speaks to the faith you have that God is going to use you for his purpose. And so whatever you choose, it's connected to your purpose. Prayerfully, we seek God for these things and we write it down. Minister Seth shared a word of God with us when he preached from this text, and he explained that this wasn't necessarily something that was on the wall. There was like a town crier that was running through the city and held the message on a big enough sheet or paper or whatever it was so that people can see it as he ran. Praise the name of God. It can be read on the run. My God, when I read that in the Message translation, that really leaped in my spirit, because this means this message has motion to it. This vision has movement attached to it. And what it speaks to my spirit, and I'm sharing this with you, is not only is it going to get you moving, it's going to get you going where you need to go. It's not just about movement. It's not just about movement. It's about direction. And so this message, this vision, these goals, glory to God, it energizes you as you move forward in the direction that God has for you. This is a vision message. It is a witness in not just in your spirit, but when you put it on paper, it becomes a witness in the environment, a witness in the air. And there's a certain excitement around it because in the Message translation, it says it can hardly wait.
it can hardly rate. The vision is yet for an appointed time. There's a time that is set to come. It shall speak. It shall speak and it shall not lie. It's going to come to pass. And I want somebody to write that down in your notes, that what God will put in your spirit for these three projects or these three goals within the next 5 months, between now and the end of May, it's going to come to pass. And the text also goes on to say, if it seems slow in coming, wait, it's on its way. It will come right on time. Wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Glory to God. Brother Dale, Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, please. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18.
Right, and Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18 reads, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he.
Thank you, son. This is a very familiar passage of scripture, but it speaks specifically to the what and the why. What? The vision. Why? Because without it, people perish. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. That's the Message translation version of this passage of scripture. You've got to be able to see what God is doing. Whether it is seeing it by faith in your spirit or being able to see it in the events that are taking place around you. There are some things you will not see with your natural eyes. And we learn to walk by faith and not by sight. And just like a person who is blind has to learn how to get through life without natural sight, you, my friend, you have got to learn how to get through life depending on the Spirit's direction to lead you. This is a phenomenal practice, because as you learn to walk by faith and not by sight, you learn how to turn down the volume on emotions and head noise that's distractive and not leading you into your direction for your purpose. You've got to know how to silence the noise. And when you know what God has revealed and attend to what God reveals, it will affect your heart. It will affect your emotions. It will affect your soul. Happy is he that keepeth the law. Happy is he who attends to what the Lord reveals. God has, he has had to reveal something to you. Attend to it and you will be happy. Oh my God. 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 15 through 17. Sister Marbury, please share that with us. Again, this is 2 Kings. And I'm sharing this particularly for those that may not be seeing the screen, so you can have it. 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 15 through 17. Please go ahead, Sister Marbury.
And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, and hosts compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servants said unto him, At last, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountains was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha.
Thank you very much. One point that I want to share regarding Proverbs 29, verse 18, from the Message translation, that was just very powerful. It says, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. You have to have a vision, because without a vision, you're going to stumble. You're going to be susceptible to fall. You're going to be susceptible to being influenced by the things that will pull you down. Now, when you focus on what God has for you in your life, yeah, there's going to be challenges. There's going to be tests. There's going to be temptations. There's going to be distractions. But this is why I really want to help to develop a purpose-driven culture in our congregation and amongst those that God has allowed me to influence. Because when you are purpose-driven, the distractions may come, but they will not stop you. Setbacks may arise, but they will not stop you. You may get hurt. You may feel like giving up, but none of these things will take you away from what God has purposed you to do, because with those distractions and with those various attacks, God is with you. And I just need somebody to say out of their mouth, put it in your notes, God is with me. God is with me. And this takes us directly into the 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 15 through 17 that Dr. Marbury just read. Allow me to read it in a Message translation. Early in the morning, a servant of the holy man, got up and went out. Surprise! Horses and chariots surrounding the city. The young man exclaimed, Oh, master, what shall we do? He said, Don't worry about it. There are more on our side than on their side. Then Elisha prayed, God, open his eyes and let him see. Open his eyes and let him see. Open his eyes and let him see. This is the point where the change comes, where the shift comes. The eyes of the young man were opened, and he saw a wonder. The whole mountainside full of horses and chariots of fire surrounding Elisha. What you need to hear, beloved, is that yes, there will be difficulties. There are going to be challenges. There are going to be some things that's going to try to get you to turn your back on your purpose and to drop it and say, forget it, I can't do it. It's just too much. But I want you to know that the help you need is right there with you. Elisha saw it, but the young man with him didn't see it. The moment that Elisha prayed, the eyes of the young man were open. Sometimes others will be praying for you. Other times you need to pray for yourself. Lord, open my eyes so that I can see you. Help me to see you. Help me to know that you're there. Help me to sense your presence. Help me to discern that I am not alone. My God, my God, my God. All right, we got to move on. Sister Charisse, Psalms 1, verses 1 through 3, please.
Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper.
Can you please read that last phrase again, Sister Charisse? I'm going to mess with you tonight. Out of verse 3.
Okay. The last part or the whole verse?
Any part of that verse you want to read. You got the ball.
And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper.
My God, my God, allow me to read this for you tonight in the Amplified Bible translation. A blessed, fortunate, prosperous, and favored by God man. Whew. Blessed, fortunate, prosperous, and favored by God is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, following their advice and example, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit down to rest in the seat of scoffers, ridiculers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law, his precepts and teachings, he habitually meditates day and night. And he will be like a tree firmly planted and fed by streams of water, which yield its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers and comes to maturity. Allow me to emphasize the latter part of verse 3. It says, which yields its fruit in its season. When I read that in my preparation, the Holy Spirit leapt in my bosom and told me to tell somebody, your season is going to be fruitful, and this is your fruitful season. Fruit comes in season. There's a season for mangoes. There's a season for cantaloupes. There's a season for watermelons. There's a season for oranges. There's a season for pears and apples. There's a season for fruit. And what's important is that you do the preparation work so that when the season comes, so does the harvest. You want to make sure that when your season comes, that the harvest comes with it. What a tragedy it is for the season of the fruit, the time when the fruit is ripe, that the farmer has not planted the seeds in preparation for the season. The season is the time of the harvest. Now, there's a time before the harvest season, and that's where it talks about him being a tree planted firmly and fed by streams of water. He's planted and fed. You can't produce unless you are planted and fed. You've got to be still and you've got to receive. You've got to be still and you've got to receive, planted and fed by streams of water. Be careful what your diet is, because what you eat can hurt you. What you eat can kill the fruit. How the farmer handles the soil is going to determine the viability and the productivity of the fruit. Don't make any mistake about it. The seed doesn't work by itself. Except the seed, oh God, except the seed die and be planted, it abideth by itself. It's got to go in the ground. It's got to be planted, and it's got to go through the process. And then the last part of that verse, verse 3, and in whatever he does, he prospers and comes to maturity, which was, it was so powerful, because we're not just talking about growth. We're talking about development. We're not just talking about something getting larger, but something getting better. We're not just talking about quantity. We're talking about quality. Oh my God, I feel the Holy Ghost right there. The Lord is not going to give you quantity without quality. If you're looking for quantity without quality, you're not looking for what God has for you. Because whatever God has for you, it's never to give you quantity without quality. Hallelujah. He is going to give you gifting, but he's going to give you character. He's going to give you an anointing, but it's going to also come with integrity. Because if you cannot hold on to the integrity, oh God, the scripture says that your gift will make room for you and bring you before great men. Your gift will bring you there, but your character will keep you there. Your gifting will bring you there, but lives of integrity is what's going to keep you there. You've got to have quality with quantity. Whew. Those are the benefits. Tonight we have something very special for you. I have a treat. I have a big treat. Because tonight, because of the fact of the significance of this and how important it is for us to be able to get our heads wrapped around this, I asked some individuals to speak briefly tonight to you all. Now, pardon me, I'm watching the time, and I know that we're after 8, and I apologize for that. Tonight, we have to go a little longer, so bear with me, if you will. I've asked some individuals to share their testimony. These are individuals that we know and love that have had challenges in their lives. Yet, despite these challenges, they have accomplished great things. They have reached their goals, and they stand amongst us as examples of those we know that have done it. It's not that we're talking about people like likes of Barack Obama or Dr. Martin Luther King or Kamala Harris or, you know, Maya Angelou or Oprah Winfrey, people of that stature that have risen through the ranks and have accomplished great things. Tyler Perry, people that have been, even people that have faced abuse in their lives, been sexually abused, and thought that they were worthless, that they were nothing. But the devil was a liar, is a liar. And despite the fact of the hatred they had to go through, they accomplished great things in the world. Well, we've got great people in our congregation that have had their sets of challenge. And I've asked them tonight to share briefly their obstacles, the blockers that they faced, and what they did to overcome them. Simply a few moments of sharing. What was the blocker that they encountered, and how did they overcome it? To be an example and an encouragement to you, I'm going to ask that they would come in this order. Minister Seth, Sister Charisse, Sister Denise, and Lady Michael. Would you please come in that order? Minister Seth, Sister Charisse, Sister Denise, and Lady Michael. Please take a few moments and share.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. I'm certainly going to try my best to be brief today. I'm going to answer it in like reverse order. I'm going to tell you what my blocker was at the end, and then I will tell you how
I overcame. Your volume is a little low, son.
Is this better?
That's better.
Okay. So I'm going to try to be quick today. I'm going to answer what my blocker was at the end, and then also I'll tell you how I overcame it at the end. So early on of 2020, the Lord told me to do some things pretty much at the beginning of the pandemic. So within the first 2 weeks of March of 2020, the Lord was dealing with me about doing some things, and some of those things were rearranging my room. And I believe I told this before, rearranging my room, getting a camera, buying a stool to sit on, and also buying a green screen. So those were the four things, for the most part, the Lord told me to do. But at the time, it didn't make any sense to me to get those things, so I put it off. I didn't get any of those things. The Lord blessed me with a job, and I was making money. Praise the Lord. I thank God for that. But I decided to use my money for other things. I put everything off. And periodically, the Lord would continue to deal with me about getting those things. And he would specifically have me thinking about how I would rearrange my room. But instead of listening to the voice of the Lord, I rationalized what the Lord told me within myself. And I consulted with my parents, and we all came to the conclusion that it was best that I not do anything for the time being, because as a family, we were planning on doing some other things. And so me, alongside my parents, we thought that it was best that I not do anything in my room just yet. Fast forward to September 2020, I get laid off because of COVID. So now all of my money flow is cut off for the most part. And so even if I was going to do what the Lord told me to do at that point, now I have no money to buy those things the Lord told me to buy. Fast forward to yesterday, the Lord had, gave me visions. This is yesterday. The Lord gave me visions about how to rearrange my room. And this time he put like an urge in me to do it. I knew what the Lord was dealing with me about before, but yesterday there was an urge, like a pull to do it. But I still decided not to move on with it. And right after I came to my decision not to move on it, my father came home and he said that he bought me a new bed and that the bed would be delivered later on in the day. So that meant I had to take out my old bed to make room for the new one. When the new one came, it was huge. It literally took up half of my room. And I asked my dad what size bed did he buy me, and he told me that it was a full size. Now, before this bed came in, I was sleeping on a twin size bed. So I started to look around for the tags to see the size of the bed. And as I'm looking around, my father tells me that the delivery people were coming back to bring the frame and the box frame. And that's when I automatically got discouraged, because I know that I have no space in my room for this. The bed by itself was too big. So adding the frame and the box frame, to me, even though it wasn't that much more of space, but just hearing all these new things coming in, my mind was like, I can't do this. And right when I was like wallowing in my discouragement, the Lord kind of like tapped me on the shoulder, and he was like, well, it looks like you got to get moving and rearrange your room now, huh? And after I felt the Lord tell me that, my mother came in my room almost like frantically. Seth, why are you just standing there? You gotta get everything out the room before everything else comes so that you can have a place to put the bed. And so I ended up rearranging my room, and in my head, it was gonna take me at least a whole full day because I have a lot of things in my room. I have a keyboard, I have speakers, I have computers, I have a saxophone, I got dresses, I got a whole bunch of things in my room. So in my head, all this time since 2020, I'm thinking it's gonna take me at least a whole day to rearrange my room. Nope, it took me about 20 minutes to get everything out, to be able to get the bed in, to have enough space for the bed to get in. And y'all know what I found out? Not only is the bed really huge in my room, but it's not a full size either, but it's a queen size bed. So my father paid for a full size, but I got a queen size bed. So here's what my blocker was. My blocker was myself. My God, that's a, what do you do when you are your own stumbling block? Bishop didn't ask me to preach, so I'm gonna get off of that real quick. So I was my own blocker. I got in my own way. And how I'm going to overcome it, when I get a job, I feel scared. Okay, my job, yeah, I told you I got laid off. My job, though, is coming to me quicker than I'm going to it. So when I get this new job, praise the Lord, and when I handle all of my preliminary business, the first thing I'm going to do with the money is buy exactly what the Lord told me to buy. Thank you for the time. God bless you all in Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Well, my testimony is that in my life, I went through a lot of things. I went through a lot of things that dealt with me emotionally and with dealing with who I am and accepting who I am and not feeling down on myself. I went through a lot of abuse in my life where things were said to me and, you know, things were done to me that really beat me emotionally. And I had many questions about who I was and what I can do in life. And all of those things contributed to a blocker, which was my personal insecurities. There were times when I was in school and I didn't really do the things that I needed to do in school. So therefore it caused me to not pass my classes and, and that was a contribute to me feeling a certain way concerning myself. But as God started to heal me and as he started to deliver me, I began feeling better about myself and taking steps that the Lord allowed me to take and allowed me to receive victory in it. One of the steps that I took was to go back to school. And I went back to school and I was able to finish school and pass all of my classes that I needed to pass. And it took me about 5 years and God was able to allow me to get my degree. And I thank God for him. And I just encourage everyone, don't let your emotions or situations that happen in your life stop you from moving forward and doing what God wants you to do. Sometimes we go through things in our life, we go through different situations that the enemy tries to use to stop you and to block you from where God wants you to be. But don't listen to that blocker. You can get past that blocker. In Jesus' name, you can get past. So I encourage you that any blocker that may come in your face, you can get the victory and allow God to turn that situation around and allow you to not stay down, but he will pick you up and he will pick your spirit up. God is a healer of emotional distress. He's a healer. He can heal you. He can deliver you from feeling bad about yourself. He can deliver you because he has delivered me. He has delivered me to the point that sometimes what people have to say negative about me, it can roll off my back because I know that is not what the word of God says about me. I walk on this scripture. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Even if you feel in yourself that you cannot do it, God says, yes, you can. And so any goal or anything that you put before God, he will give you the strength to move forward and do it. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise the Lord, everyone. I really don't know what testimony to share or what to share, but I am going to say this. It is very important from the time you're a child to know the Lord. And it's also important to not receive everything that people say to you, people speak into your life. Even growing up, as you become older, and you have dreams and aspirations. Sister Sharice just talked about things that happened to her as a child. People can actually speak negative things into your life as well, that you, as a child of God, you must know your God. They that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. If I'm quoting the scripture wrong, please forgive me, but that scripture has been in my heart for the past couple of days. As a child growing up and as a teenager and as a young adult, I had aspirations. And this is even before salvation. I received the gift of salvation. Negative things were placed into my heart. And those insecurities, which is the blocker, personal insecurities, could have taken me out. But if it wasn't for God's mercy and grace, I would not even be here. Even after salvation, I still battled personal insecurities. You're too fat. You're too black. You're too this. You're too pompous. Who do you think you are doing this? What makes you think you can have a business? What makes you think you can retire by the age of 45? This is my own family telling me this. It's not like it's a stranger. And yes, I got that from strangers too. You're to this, you're to that. Who do you think you are? But God put a resolve in my heart. He gave me the vision. He told me, start the business. And I was determined, despite what people told me I could not do, and despite their opinion of what they thought I should do or should not do, I was determined, no matter what, God said it, I shall do it, and it is so. Now, has it been easy? No. Have I made mistakes? Yes. Has God decided to shift me in the midst of me doing stuff? Definitely, yes. But I am determined, no matter what blocker, no matter what is said, no matter other people's opinions, I'm not focusing on other people's opinion. I must do the will of my Father, and I shall accomplish my goal because I do have a charge to keep and a God to glorify. God bless you.
Praise the Lord, everyone. I have had multiple challenges in many areas, and when I consulted the Lord this morning in prayer of what I should talk about in terms of my challenges, this is what he gave me, which unbelievably is so similar to what everybody else is saying, but that's because the Lord confirms his word. And my challenge was that I limited the voice of what I heard in my own head. The best version of Tania Michael to me was in my head. But the Lord taught me that I could not lean and depend on the version of me in my head, that I had to look higher than what was in my head. And the word of God, it even tells us that we can't just depend on what's in our own thoughts. It says that above all that we can ask or think. So the Lord was teaching me that I've got to elevate what's in my head, because what's in my head is not going to get me where I need to go. And the word says, eyes have not seen and ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man what I have prepared for you. So what he has prepared for me and what he has prepared for us, it cannot be locked in our own heads. And then it says, I will do a new thing in you. So we have our limitations in our head. If we only hear what's in our head, we limit our potential. We don't reach for God's dream that he has for us in our lives. Therefore, what's crucial is that we communicate with ourselves what God's blueprint has designed for us before the foundation of the world. The Lord told the prophet, I ordained you a prophet. So we have to listen to God's prophecy for our own lives. God prophesied a blueprint in our lives. He prophesied a blueprint before we were born of how we should come out and what we should do in our lives. And the only way to hear this blueprint that God has designed for our lives is to pray in the supernatural and not pray in the natural. To pray in a surrendered stance, in faith, in trust, and in vision, and in most of all, in humility. Because I had to learn that, Lord, I do not know what's best. You know what's best. And therefore, humility is everything that I've learned. And who I am in and of myself is only naturally attained. But if I can just look at the sovereignty of God, if I can just see him in his wisdom and how he sees me, I am a mere human. And Lord, you are my royal king. I've got to elevate my eyesight to begin seeing through your eyes. I've got to revamp my whole life to be starving to hear your direction for me. When you give me your direction, it's your purpose for me. And it's not necessarily going to make me feel good or feel better, but I've got to accomplish the design of the blueprint that I can only find out from him. Therefore, I lay before you, Lord, to get acquainted with the blueprint and hear how you want me to strategically execute the plan. So when I stopped focusing on the limitations in my own mind, because I limited me, I was not good enough. I could not do it. I could not attain. And the Lord took me from out of my own head. And he said, get out of your head and see what I see for you. And when I started seeing what he saw for me, when I was on dialysis and I was sick, having pains racked through my body, instead of seeing my limitations, instead of seeing that I might die, I started seeing what the Lord saw. And then he gave me the ability to write songs while I was on dialysis because I took myself out of my own head. When I was not entitled for financial aid, once I got that kidney transplant, because my husband made too much money for me to get financial aid, but we didn't have enough money for me to pay for school. And I did not know how I was going to pay for school. I didn't know how I was going to go to school because I could not get financial aid, but I had to get out of my own head. And when I got out of my own head, God allowed me to get my associate's degree, my bachelor's degree, my master's degree. And now I'm in a doctoral program to get my doctorate degree because I got out of my own head. And when he told me to share my testimony with the world, I had no idea how I was going to do it. I didn't have the help, I didn't have the money, but I had to get out of my own head and start seeing what he saw for me. And then when I didn't have any expertise in business and I didn't really have the confidence that I could even open a business and run a business, the Lord said, get out of your own head and see the blueprint that I have for you. So this year, last year during the pandemic, I started my own business. And every single month I had made something. It may not have made me rich yet, but I have made something. So now in my own head, the Lord told me, I want you to tell your testimony around the world during the pandemic. And to do this, I had to get out of my own head. So now I'm reaching out to people that I know in South Africa. I'm reaching out to people that I know in Germany. I'm reaching out to people that I know in Canada. And by God's grace, that this year on my birthday, April 27, that I will share my testimony with the world on social media, on Facebook, on Instagram, through LinkedIn, through every single platform that there is, not because I'm smart, not because I know things, not because I'm wealthy, but because I got out of my own head to be able to do what God told me that I was born to do. I didn't even realize that I was born to do it, but before the foundation of the world, he knew that my name would be Tania. He knew that I would be 5 feet, 10 and a half inches. He knew that I would be on dialysis. He knew that he would want me to share my testimony. He knew all of these things about me. And I had to stop limiting my own self in my own head. In my own head, there's only but so far I can go. But once I see through the eyes of God, eyes have not seen and ears have not heard and neither has it entered into the hearts of men. So I encourage you, get out of your head. God has more. Get out of your head. You can do what you were born to do in Jesus' name. God bless you.
My God, my God, my God. I don't know who these words were directed to, and I absolutely believe that this is the Holy Ghost moving right now. We're going to have our prayer leaders come, our youth representative to be followed by our women and then our men. They'll take a few minutes to lead us in prayer. I know we're we're more than a little bit over schedule, but this is necessary. This is powerful. This is God. We're going to ask our youth representative to come, then our women's representative to come, then our men's representative to come in that order in the name of Jesus. Please, let's go forth in prayer. Let's seal this lesson. Let's seal these testimonies. Let's seal these affirmations with the power, power, power of prayer. Our prayer leaders can come again. Youth, women, men, in that order, in Jesus' name.
Thank you, God, for waking us up this morning, oh God. Thank you for protecting us and keeping us safe under your blood. Before we ask anything of you, if we have sinned, we ask that you cleanse our sins, oh God. We come before you to ask is that you help us to reach our goals, oh God. We ask that when we start our goals, that we finish them strong, oh God. That we are proud of what we've done, oh God. And that we ask that no matter what comes our way, we stay strong with you. We ask that you lead us in your path, oh God. We ask that no vision. We pray against all blockers, oh God. Any insecurities, oh God. Because we know that through all things through Christ, which strengthens us. We can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us, oh God. We know that no matter what anyone says, we know that we are strong people, oh God. And we ask of you that we are ready for you, oh God.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, even now you are worthy to be praised. You're worthy, oh God, to be lifted up and exalted. And oh Father, even now you receive the glory. You receive the glory and the honor, oh God. Oh Father, right now, Lord Jesus, every single person, oh God, that's on this line, oh God, we bring them before you, oh God. Father, you know every single heart. You know every single mind, oh God. And oh Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, oh God, for all that you have done in each and every one of our lives, for what you're going to do, oh God. Father, Lord God, we bring, oh God, every blocker before you, oh God, knowing, dear God, that there is no blocker, oh God, that can preeminence over our lives, oh God, but that you are in control, oh God, and that you are going to have your way in our lives, oh God. Help us, dear God, to put you first in everything and to seek your face in your direction in whatever we do in our lives, oh God. Give us the strength, oh God, to continue to go on, dear God, that we would not look at the things that are seen in front of our eyes, oh God, but we will have faith, oh God, in you to do more, oh God. Right now, oh God, we come against every insecurity in any life, oh God. Father, Lord God, we bring it before you and we pray, God, that you will remove every insecurity, that you will give your people strength, oh God, to go on even more and to push no matter what, oh God. Father, right now we trust you and we believe in you, knowing, dear God, that we can do all things, oh God, through Christ who can strengthen us. And oh Father, right now we lay upon you, oh God, and we lay in your arms, God, knowing, dear God, that you are able and that you are faithful. Father, we trust you, oh God, even, oh God, for the goals, oh God, that we have in our lives, oh God, we trust you and we believe in you that, oh God, with you, all things are possible. And oh Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, have your way, oh God. Have your way, hallelujah, in our lives. Help us, dear God, to be consistent in you, oh Father. Oh Father, to look to you for whatever decision needs to be made. Father, we put it all into your hands and knowing, dear God, that you are going to do it. You are going to do it. Hallelujah. Let us not, oh God, look at ourselves through our eyes, but let us, oh God, look through your eyes, oh God. In the name of Jesus, we pray and we thank you right now, oh God. We give you praise, we give you honor, we give you glory, oh God, because you alone deserve the glory, and we honor you, oh God, for you are mighty, hallelujah. You are mighty and you are worthy, oh God, and we trust you and love you, hallelujah. Hallelujah, have your way in our lives, oh God. Help us not to look at the circumstances, oh God, but oh God, look to you who is able, dear God, to cover every circumstance and make a difference, oh God. Father, right now we praise you and we thank you, for you are our strength, hallelujah, and I glorify you right now in Jesus' name, amen.
Lord God, our Father in heaven, Alpha and Omega, we thank you, Father, for being with us at the beginning of this call and even now as we come to an end. We just pray even right now, dear Lord, that you would turn our hearts towards you. You've allowed us the opportunity to gather together before your throne of grace, and I praise you, because the reality is that we don't have to slay a lamb anymore. We don't have to bring blood of bulls, of sheep, of oxen. We can come boldly before your throne of grace to obtain mercy and to find grace to help in this time of need. So even right now, Father, as prayers have gone up, I pray, dear Lord, that you would receive our adoration and that you would receive our praise as a sweet-smelling savor before your nostrils, and that you would turn your attention to your children, Father, that even right now you would place in our hearts your own desires, that you, dear God, would allow us to delight ourselves in you, so that not that you would give us the things that we want, but that you would give us desires for our heart, dear God, because the next best thing may be a Ferrari, the next best thing may be a shopping spree, but the reality is that the best thing for all time and for all ages is a walk with you, dear God. Allow us to be like Enoch, who you said, dear Lord, walked with you for 365 years, and he was caught away because he had a testimony that he pleased you. He walked with you. And I pray even right now, Father, that you would make that true, not just for myself, not just for the people that are right here and present in the moment, but I pray that you would make that true for everyone who comes across this recording, Father. I pray that you would allow us to reach, as Lady Michael said, to the ends of the earth, because that was your dictate. That was your mandate, Father. You came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, but you sent your disciples out into all the nations. You said, dear God, that if you did not die, that you would remain alone. As Pastor Michael mentioned earlier, he said, if a seed does not die, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. And so I thank you for coming, for dying, for being planted in the tomb, for being resurrected, and now allowing us to be your fruit that goes forth into all the nations to bear even more fruit. I thank you, Father, for working with us, for working within us, dear God, and leaving yourself these many witnesses. And since we are surrounded by this cloud of witnesses, I pray that you would allow us to go forward looking unto you, because you are the author and the finisher of our faith. And with everything that everybody talked about encountering, your word tells us that you endured the cross, despising the shame, for the joy that was set before you. So I pray, dear Lord, that you help us to have patience, so that after we do your will, we may receive the promise. I pray, dear God, that you would allow us to go forth with boldness, with your grace, with a knowledge, Father, that you who are with us, you are more and mightier than they that are against us. I pray, Father, that there would be a Holy Ghost outpouring on all of these, your children, not just the youth, not just the women, not just the men, dear Lord, but the entirety of this nation, Father. I praise you even in the order of the prayer, dear God, how Pastor Michael allowed for there to be an echoing of the order that you have set. You said that there is one God and one man, that there is one faith, one baptism. You, dear Lord, set an order, and you allowed it to be echoed even in this time. And so I pray that the way that the world has allowed for there to be chaos, I pray that you would bring and restore your order even right now, not just in this house of God, because judgment begins at the house of faith, but I pray that you, Father, would allow it to go forward, to do exactly what you have planned for it to do. And I pray that you would continue to burn within our hearts even right now. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we bask in your presence. We give you praise, honor, and glory this night. I thank you for the assemblage of your people that have come to hear your word. I thank you that you have given us your word. I thank you that you have witnesses on the line, those that have endured blockers, those that have come through blockers, and those that have overcome the blockers. We thank you for the charge you placed upon our spirits to be purpose-driven people, believing to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living and not allowing our faith to have no power behind it, but that our faith has works to go along with it, and that our faith is a living faith. Oh, I bless you right now for the eyes that have been opened, for the hearts that have been lifted, for the words that have been shared. This is our season. Woo, God, I declare this now over everybody on this line. I declare it now into the hearts of those that will listen to the recording, that this season is going to be a season of fulfillment. This is our season. And so, God, in the spirit of humility, we will prepare. We will make progress. We will persevere. We thank you, Lord God, because you're on our side. And if you're on our side, no weapon formed against us can prosper. We will be the people you have anointed us to be of purpose. We will be the people you have anointed us to be of power. We will be the people you have called us to be, that we must be for this season, even people of prayer. We will be your people, the people that love you, the people that appreciate you, that will praise your name. And so now, as we go forward, now as we come out, hey, we declare we can do all things through Christ that is our strength. You put your word in our spirit, and tonight we declare we believe. We are believers. We believe, therefore have we spoken. We believe that whatsoever things we ask, it shall be done. We believe that your word will not return unto you void, but it will prosper in the place to which you sent it. It will accomplish that which you please. We believe that there's no other God like you. We believe that there's no God at all comparable to you. We believe tonight that the Holy Ghost is real in us. We believe and we thank you for the resurrected Jesus, the Jesus that got up, hallelujah, which was the first fruits of them that slept, that lets us to know that resurrection is a part of our experience. And so, Lord, before we transform into the 1 Thessalonians 15 experience, we believe now that we can experience resurrection power, that resurrection power that got Christ up out of the grave abides in us. And so we shake off the grave clothes. We shake off the grave clothes. We shake off the sad song. We shake off the things that will seek to hold us down, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth unto those things that are before. Tonight we press. We press, Lord, with each other. We press, Lord, arm in arm. We press, Lord, through our prayer. We press, Lord, through our testimony. And tonight we declare, now unto him that is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. We declare amen. We declare amen. We declare amen. We declare amen, amen, and amen. And so, beloved, we thank you for joining us on this call tonight. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Next week we'll go over some of the goals that you have set so that we can get about our business. And if anyone has a question in the congregation, you certainly can reach me or anyone else on the line. You can reach after the call is over. At this time, the call will come to an end. But God is just getting warmed up with you. God bless you in Jesus' name. It shall be done in 21. God bless you and good night.